Last week, while speaking with Robert Sardello, we were winding our way into discussing his in-depth work and teaching regarding the foundations of Earthosophy, Earth Wisdom. Well, we wound our way a little bit too slowly, so we'll be discovering more about how much courage of heart is the way of the future. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Robert, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you very much for the invitation to come back. I enjoyed our first conversation enormously. Thank you.
I did want to get into chatting about all of the work you've done regarding Earth Wisdom and what you've termed Earthosophy. You've written that courage of heart is the way of the future, and this is a place to dive into an incredibly vast understanding.
It is, because it's a complete shift of where we center not only our attention and sensing, but also a very different mode of thinking, the thought of the heart. One way to make a connection with our last conversation, we could look again at this event of December 21st, that famous end of the Mayan calendar, although it's actually the beginning of a 200-year period. Last time we spoke quite a bit of Jose Argyllis and Desjardins and the noosphere and the sense of the human being as a geologic layer of Earth. The December 21st moment at 11:11 Greenwich time, that was this moment of a perfect alignment of the Earth, the Sun, and the center of the galaxy. And in Egypt, for example, the center of the galaxy was revered as Isis. Then, in later times, becomes known as Sophia. So we can begin to get this kind of a picture of this moment of intense focusing of the center of a galaxy, of the presence of Sophia, concentrating within the spiritual being of Earth. I mean by that, Earth as a being of body, soul, and spirit. Not the way that we quite understand Earth as, you know, a ball of dirt or geologically or even in terms of nature.
Yes, I appreciate how a lot of your work is really enlarging. You pose the question, who is Earth? Which really sets things on another axis, really, by posing the question in that way and discovering the Earth in that way as a who rather than a what.
In order to do that, it's necessary to move attention to the place of the heart. And then Earth is, you can begin to experience all that is around us in a very, very different way as living, embodied, spiritual presences. Yeah. So that the, you know, that's who we can call Sophia. That Sophia simply means wisdom. And in this moment of this entering 200 years now, where our work as human beings is to enter into Earth wisdom.
Now, when you speak of Sophia, I'm maybe incorrect, so please do correct me. Do you present Sophia as the presence of spiritual Earth in three parts? And is this next 200 years one of those three parts?
I don't quite understand the three parts.
Okay, well, I thought I read somewhere in your writings on your website, which is a great place for everyone to go, regarding Sophia and how she is the presence of the lunar, which is the darkness, but also of the sun, which is the light. And
Well, this presence of wisdom that is now very focused in a very intense way with Earth and asking us to find the way to be present with, in a unity with Earth wisdom, who we call in Sophia. Sophia actually, though, then is expressed in, golly, 5 different aspects. 5 different aspects. But this is very, I want to try to keep it practical and so it's possible to actually experience. So the wisdom of Sophia in relation to Earth is experienced simply by entering into the realm of deep silence. If we do that, if we feel silence as a kind of a bodily touch at the very periphery of our body, if we just close our eyes and go into silence, silence is not the absence of sound. It's a palpable presence. Like, you know, if you ever walked into a forest of redwood trees, you can feel palpably the presence of silence.
Yes.
That's the Sophia quality. It's the unity of earth, body, soul, spirit. Our unified presence with the Sophia who is the spiritual earth. So that dimension, that's the way to have a, you know, silence is her presence. But Sophia reveals her presence as earth wisdom also in the dimension of the figure we call Mary, the Blessed Mary. But we take that not as a historical figure, but as a potential human capacity of being with the earth in a certain particular manner, which with her has to do with experiencing all of Earth in such a way that it lives on within our soul life. Because Mary was an Essene initiate, and she loved to just walk around on the earth and look at the flowers and the trees and the plants, and she wondered, you know, all this out there, if it doesn't also exist within us in some way, then it'll be taken as just to be used. So she developed this capacity to let something that is sensorially experienced live on afterward, linger on within the soul. And you do this just by, and now that's a human capacity. We can do it. Which is, if we sense a beautiful rose, that is not a soul experience. That's a pure sensory experience. And then if we turn away from it and our attention is on our cell phone or whatever it is, there's no sense of the earth as soul being. It was just a beautiful experience that we use for our own pleasure. But if we look at the rose with wide vision, close our eyes and feel and experience now the presence of the rose within the center of the heart, then we're united with Earth as a soul presence. So that's another dimension of this Earth wisdom.
Yes, and that brings in the who is Earth, and it also brings in what you talked about when you were writing and using imagination, saying it's an organ of perception.
That's right.
You're concretizing these elements that, you know, perhaps until now in a lot of people's awarenesses are not very concrete. And something doesn't have to be material in order to be concrete in the way that we can experience it.
Oh, wonderful. Exactly. That's exactly right. That, that the, you know, the inner life can be extremely, extremely concrete and is. The other, perhaps I should mention just briefly, is that these dimensions of Sophia, like Mary, there'll be the Black Madonna, Mary Magdalene, Lady of Guadalupe, Sophia of the Book of Revelation, those are not in any way connected, for me at least, with religion. They're not about religion at all. They're about these particular instances in which capacities of the future are now available to all human beings. I'm sure there's other ways of going about it. I mean, I just am not familiar with enough, for example, with Tara in Buddhism and various other Hindu mythology, and you could approach it in many ways. I just want to make sure that it's not understood as, oh, he's being Christian.
Yes, so, well, there's a lot to be said, and not right now, of course, about, you know, there's talking about Jesus Christ, the man, and then there's talking about the Christ essence or principle, which is not religious.
That's right.
Which is that becoming, and, you know, Jesus was a man who was pulled toward more of the possibility of who we are and can be as human beings than the way most of us are experiencing our lives at this moment anyway.
That's right. I mean, Jesus Christ is a prototypal imagination of what the human being as a spiritual human being can become. The Sophia and the dimensions of Sophia are more a prototype of what the human being as a soul spiritual being can become.
Right. I don't have a lot of experience reading or knowing about archetypes as far as their importance, where they come from, etc. Would you say that Sophia is more of an all-round, considering Sophia is presented as the presence of spiritual earth, and are the other archetypes more considered for the individual person?
I think the way that at least I see it is that Sophia is an extremely multifaceted presence. And these other aspects are not, like Mary and Black Madonna, they're not really separate. They are like faces or aspects of Sophianic presence. They're all, it's like, you know, it's like at one time Sophia reveals herself in this manner of Mary, another time in this manner of Black Madonna. That's so that we develop all of the multiple soul qualities needed for being unified with the earth. For example, like the Black Madonna. There has always been the presence of the quality of encountering impossibility. There's always the appearance, and there's about, you know, there's some 300 usually wood-carved Black Madonnas throughout the world. And they always come to the surface at times of incredible impossibility, where nothing works anymore, where we're thrown into the underworld dimension of Earth presence. And in the underworld dimension, there is the new creation. creation happening. I mean, it's like these moments when nothing works anymore. It's like right now. Right now in our culture is very much a Black Madonna, Sophia moment. Nothing works. And we are in an impossibility. The work then is not to try to get out of it, but how to find the way into being with impossibility, which is full then of new creation. So that dimension of earth presence includes a sense of the depths of the underworld, the time of being with earth that is in depth, in kind of a darkness, in waiting. In a way, it's equivalent to winter. Mary Magdalene is earlier times would be known as Persephone. Or for example, the Lady Guadalupe is an amazing, amazing experience that has been more or less overlaid with a Christian kind of overlay. Like where the Lady of Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego, Tepeyacac, right outside of Mexico City, is a ancient site, a sacred site of the earth goddess, Colitqui, she's called in Aztec. So it's really, really the appearance again of a kind of, well, the Lady of Guadalupe is very apocalyptic. Now she stands on the moon. She's dressed in this gown of stars. She's very much like the Sophia of the Apocalypse. So she's a picturing of what, in particular, the earth presence within the domain of the Americas can become.
Well, you have such an expansive knowledge of the spiritual history involving different parts of the earth, different characters or people in history regarding their spirituality. And do you think spiritual experiences have changed through the ages? I mean, you're talking about various cycles right now, so we can acknowledge the cycles, but is there any big thrust, you know, perhaps where, you know, in describing it or comparing it to a volcanic eruption that just, you know, brings this island out from under the sea or something like that, how spiritual experiences have changed through the ages, or have they basically been the same just within the cycle?
Well, they change very much in different ages, and it's kind of, even though the same figures may be involved, they reveal themselves in relation to human spiritual development differently at different times. I don't know if that's too complex, but it's
no.
Yeah. So they're both. I mean, they are permanent, eternal presences, but they reveal themselves or show different faces at different times. And we're particularly interested in this time, that this, you know, this ending that is a new beginning. Because it's a time of this whole Sophianic feminine aspect of earth and human being showing itself, herself, in very new and different ways. So we have a kind of look at history but not take it historically. Like, for example, the Mary Magdalene dimension of earth presence. Like Mary Magdalene spent the last 30 years of her life living in the caves of southern France with a group of people. And what she was doing with those people, that community there for 30 years, was engaging in rituals that would make possible feeling the very, very earth under our feet as a spiritual presence. For example, I was walking from our house. This is actually how this all started. I was walking from our house about 150 yards out to our barn one day, several years ago. As I was walking, I was just kind of noticing things, and suddenly I felt the purest, most extraordinarily strong sensory love coming from the earth, from beneath my feet. It was just an astounding moment to realize the earth has a presence of love. I mean, almost unbelievable. But that started all of this exploration of what in the world, because I had been, like most people, in my spirituality, completely cosmic-oriented, which is basically, you know, an escapism spirituality. It's a spirituality that says Earth is just a trial place. I want to find the way to get the hell out of here as soon as I can.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just teasing. You know, that in me just brings up the need to ask you about ritual. I mean, it's, you know, 30 years of doing ritual with these people, and I just, you know, maybe there's definitely a part of me that doesn't want to do my homework, but I feel like there's a place and a time where we move beyond the ritual. Like, she was teaching ritual to these people. You walked on the earth. Now, it's not to say you haven't done your homework for however many years of going in and feeling that palpable silence, so you can experience that love walking on the earth. But, and then, you know, the shaman who will start out using ayahuasca, but then they don't need that anymore for the connection. They've got that connection down. So I always question the ultimate need for ritual.
Well, I mean, there are moves now from ritual as a circumscribed context of a kind of a practice to a mode of ongoing consciousness.
Right. It's just like you were talking about how this is, it's not religion. And just as you spoke about the history, it's like you look at history, but it's not like this concrete thing that we have to be moving out from.
Ritual certainly means the unity of the human spiritual body with the divine presences. So ritual isn't—I don't take it literally as a content as much as saying the work is to be bodily present with earth.
Yes,
that you're in ritual.
Yes, yes. It's not the feather Dumbo used to fly, basically. Yes. You know, in speaking with Joe Pierce, which is where I very gratefully found out about your work, he was talking about this woman that he became aware of, and you actually went over to visit in Europe, who was really living with spirit, and she's not eating food anymore.
Oh, and yes, Judith von Holly.
Could you tell us about her?
Well, she's certainly an amazing, wonderful, extraordinary, beautiful woman, and who I don't know. I mean, she just very quite suddenly began to discover that. Well, first of all, the stigmata appeared. meaning the stigmata are these, you know, the presence of the wounds of Christ at the place of the hands and the feet and of the body. And she also simultaneously found that she eating was poison to her. It was actually poison. She had to stop eating and doesn't eat and is perfectly fine. I think the one thing to mention is that there are two kinds of stigmata. Like the stigmata of St. Francis was the first stigmatic, meaning he was the first, one of the first at least, to experience the bodily wounds of Christ. That just means, though, his wounds would not stop bleeding. They were profuse, and actually, within 2 years he died. The wounds of Judith von Holly are not so much of a gift as a result of whatever her inner practices were. I don't know much to go into that, but the question is, what is she doing? I mean, who is she, and her significance for what we're talking about? And that I'm not so sure about. I don't know. I mean, I
just wondered in that becoming, in that articulating of what is pulling us toward who we can become. I just think it's going to be happening in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's right. I see her that way. I know that she's a healer for sure. She's now, some people set up for her a center in Germany that is a healing center. So that is the dimension now I'm exploring. As a fact, in the spring we're offering a course that is called Christ as the Emerging Human Healer.
Beautiful.
As the other accompanying dimension with Earth is this, how we are with Earth, and that is to be in our very presence and being and healers. It's like the ritual in a way. It's not to be a healer in this more specialized, closed-off way of I do this and then sometimes I heal. It's to become, as a human being, the presence with Earth is as healing.
Robert Sardello. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly news of our shows, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.